Sarah, of course, one big addition, the only lineup change tonight for either team. Pierre-Luc Dubois comes in. He's only missed a week, only missed one game after the injury suffered when it looks like it got clipped by Wayne Simmonds. You've seen him all year long. Long term, I assume he's a center, but why hasn't it worked so far this year for Dubois in Winnipeg?
Good question. I think that partly you have to look at the scenario that he came in and what he's been dealing with so many others. But I mean, he goes through his first trade. He has to go through the quarantine. He's got an injury as soon as he gets back on the ice. And he just hasn't seemed to really find his groove yet. And I think that they're hoping now that maybe postseason is the style of game, as we saw last year in the bubble, but can be the style of game that suits the way that Dubois can play. But I think that we're going to see a lot of him on the wing. Paul Stastny has played really well in that center role, and it gives them a variety of different options to go with. But yeah, it hasn't been the smooth transition that everybody hoped that he would be. Certainly long term, Paul Maurice has made it very clear that he sees Dubois as being the center, and you think of the upside that Dubois has as he continues to develop. It's there. We just haven't seen it to the extent that I think people hoped that they would have up to this point.
Yeah, and I think this year, you know, like in a lot of teams, a player gets traded to a new team, there's not always instant success right away, and I think this year you add to it with his injury and the pandemic, next year you'll likely be a much different Dubois. But the playoffs is also, it's like a new season, and we've seen lots of guys have an average regular season and then light it up, and he's obviously hoping that. The Jets themselves, are you expecting them, because you know Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, when they're together, they're really dangerous. The most dangerous duo in the league, there's no question about it. And I suspect there's a good chance we'll see more of them tonight. Obviously, it sounds like it'll be the Scheifele line. Do you see the Jets, like, do they have a game plan when they're together? Because when those two were together in the regular season, they really had their way with Winnipeg.
They did. I mean, well, you could argue that they both, and especially McDavid, had their way during the regular season, whether they were together or apart, that Winnipeg had no answer for them. But I think that it's just their discussion was more about just being sharper in the execution. I think that the Jets are expecting to see that as well. And we've seen, obviously, when Dave Tippett goes to it, as you mentioned, the success that they can have. So it's a matter of trying to contain them. The Jets did a good job with it. They felt going into this postseason that for all of the talk about the slide that they had been on, and certainly, I mean, the results weren't there and you weren't seeing them score with any sort of frequency as well. But Paul Maurice kept harping about how this was about getting the game right for the type of game that you were expecting to see in the postseason, and feeling that even if the results weren't there, that they needed to get certain things turned around in their game, and that he was seeing them, that the metrics were showing that they were trending in the right direction. And so we'll see whether or not they're able to have an answer for them, but it's certainly, I think everybody is expecting to see on that Jets team is expecting to see a much harder push from the Edmonton Oilers tonight, and more of what they saw in the regular season than what they saw in game one.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cautious for both teams. And, you know, Winnipeg, hey, they'll play that style all day if it means McDavid and Draisaitl aren't freewheeling all over
Absolutely.
The ice, right? And, you know, you look at Winnipeg, you've got Lowry's line. Like what does Winnipeg want to do better tonight that they didn't do in game one?
I think they'd like to get more traffic in front of Mike Smith. I think that like to see, I mean, the way that even when you saw, not that it was traffic, but just Tucker Pullman going to the net on his goal, and then Toninato able to do the tip on his. I think that they felt as if they didn't get they didn't get enough bodies in front of him, so they'd like to see a little bit more of that. I think that they're expecting it to be more of a speed game and a little more north-south tonight than what we saw in game one, because it was, you mentioned, it was a cautious approach from both teams, but that certainly, that plays better, or that plays more in the favor of Winnipeg than it does in Edmonton, because as much as it wasn't the most entertaining game that we have seen in the postseason so far, when you think about so many of the other series, especially obviously the ones down south, it's the type of game that Winnipeg need to play in order to try to have success. And I think to be able to build some confidence for them as well, and reinforcing, I think it reinforced for Paul Maurice what he was trying to preach to the players, and showing them that if you buy into this, that there is the possibility of having success.
Sarah Orleski joins us from TSN in Winnipeg, Jets Oilers game 2 tonight. Nikolaj Ehlers, I watched him today after practice. He was out there shooting. I must have shot 50 pucks, maybe 70. So clearly his shot's fine. Then he was skating lots afterwards. Like, he seems like he's getting really close. He didn't have the practice. He didn't have the no-contact jersey on today. He was in the white jersey, which seems to illustrate top six guys.
Yep.
You think there's a chance he's back on Sunday?
I think there is. I'll be interested to see what happens. No, I mean, the tough part, well, I was going to say that they don't practice on Saturday, but game three and game four are back-to-back anyways for it. I think he's getting closer. They've never said exactly what it is that Ehlers is dealing with, although many of us suspect that it's his shoulder for it. So today was the first day that we saw him out of the non-contact jersey. And he's been practicing for a while, or skating for a little while now, getting back into it. But I think it'll interesting. I think he's certainly a possibility. I know that Paul Maurice said that, I think if it was up to Ehlers, that Ehlers is pushing hard, that he might be ready to go. And the Winnipeg Jets need him. I think that they change, even though he had missed the final nine games of the regular season, that he changes the look of that offense so much. And I don't think that maybe even I fully appreciated before he was injured just the impact that he has in so many different areas. So it would be a huge boost for Winnipeg from an offensive standpoint. And it would allow, presuming everybody stays healthy through this game, if he's able to return on Sunday, it would allow those lines to go back to what Paul Maurice envisioned for them. And I think where they're able to show off their most depth. And you would have Andrew Copp be able to slide back down onto the line with Lowry and Mason Appleton. And Matthew Perreault did well there in game one. But it kind of slots everybody back in where they need to be for the Winnipeg Jets to have the utmost success.
Only saw one power play in the first game. Obviously, the lowest of any series by far. Now, I really don't think there was a ton of missed calls in that game. Like, it wasn't overly physical. There wasn't a lot of hooking and obstruction, anything like that. The Jets have a good power play, for sure. But their power play, actually, in the last 10 games was only 8%. Is it just because did they miss Nick Ehlers that much? What happened down the stretch?
Yeah, I think so. And a lot of their power play, it's funny because if you look just at the numbers, they finished with a high-ranking power play overall. But exactly as you mentioned, in fact, it's funny because the final regular season game was against Toronto, and I said for as much as people have been discussing all of the trials and tribulations of the Toronto Maple Leafs power play, over the final 10-game stretch of the regular season, they actually had a more potent power play than the Winnipeg Jets did, because they were operating around 6.8%, being Winnipeg. Ehlers certainly impacts them, and I think that in particular, so he's on their second power play unit. It's the second power play unit that I felt, especially in the back half of the season, was the most dangerous. They're a lot more dynamic. There's a lot more movement on that power play, on that second power play unit than the first one. The first one has the big guns and the Scheifele, Connor, Wheeler, but I just feel that they're just more stagnant and looking for that perfect shot. And so he made a big difference, not just 5-on-5, but for the power play as well. So you noticed it kind of across the board in the trickle-down effect of not having him there. But you would think that the Winnipeg Jets, given the talent that they have and the offensive skill, that they would be able to get that power play going. But they just have not been able to. But, again, we could say the same thing about the Toronto Maple Leafs or a number of other teams as well that seem to have just been stuck in mud and remarkably haven't been able to score. But I had said to someone when the Oilers weren't able to score on that power play, I said, you just watch. That to me I felt as if there was a little bit of extra jump for the Jets after they were able to do that kill. And so you watch, the Jets are going to win this game now that they've killed that off, and certainly one of their priorities. They're not a heavily penalized team, or they weren't in the regular season, but one of their priorities certainly was staying out of the box because you don't want to give Connor McDavid and company too many opportunities.
Yeah, the Oilers and the Jets, both top 10 teams in not taking penalties. And so I never thought there'd be a ton of power plays in this series, but Edmonton's going to have to work harder to force Winnipeg to take some penalties. And, you know, Edmonton's power play hasn't dipped really all season long. It's been pretty consistent and got a little bit better down the stretch. It was good against the Jets. And so, you know, unlike Toronto, like, it's amazing. Toronto's power power play, you can argue costing the game last night. Not only did they not score, they then gave up a shorthanded goal. And that special teams, you know, some people downplay it. I still think it's massively important when you have it. And for Edmonton,
well, I think especially the penalty kill. Like as much as the power play, for me, the power play is can be such a difference maker. I mean, you certainly you can't get outscored on your power play. would be the key. But I think that the penalty, the penalty kill in particular, when you're looking at the postseason, just so key. And so I, for the Winnipeg Jets to be able to stay healthy and have the likes of the Andrew Copps, Adam Lowry's on their penalty kill, it's a huge challenge when you're going up against the Edmonton Oilers. But I think that they are, they have the skill there to be able to at least contain them, but you just can't give them many opportunities.
Well, Sarah, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks much.